License Commission hearing for Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. It's 3:02 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, basement conference room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moratti Ferrer, Gerard Mahoney, and Branville Bard. First matter, application, Cava Meza Grill, LLC, doing business as Cava, 82 Ames Street, has applied for a new common victualler license, number 18655, with seating capacity of 38, occupancy of 77, 20 seasonal patio seats on private property, proposed hours of operation, 10:45 a.m. to 10 p.m. all days. Megan Harvey is proposed manager of record. Premises described as 2,262 square feet on the first floor, end cap in the Kendall Square area. There's a walk-in cooler and kitchen in the back of the house, two entrances and exits total. No entertainment or DJ of any type or speakers. Main dining area and restrooms are the only rooms with public access. Patio seating is on private property.
Hi. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. It's Megan, M-E-G-A-N, Harvey. H-A-R-V-E-Y.
Thank you. And Ms. Harvey, this is going to be the same type of operation that you guys have on Brookline Ave and stuff?
Yeah, on Boylston
Street. Boylston,
yep.
Sorry.
Yep. Exactly.
Parallel to Brookline Ave.
Yes, exact same operation.
Okay. Do you guys intend to have any type of alcohol on this location?
No, we do not.
And then I must say that I have no idea what end cap in Kendall Square area means in terms of a premise description. So this is what I'm proposing the premise description would be, and just let me know if this makes sense to you. Approximately 2,262 square feet in one room on the first floor with kitchen in the rear. Do you have a basement for storage?
I think it's one level.
Let me just double check.
Okay.
I think it's one level on that.
I don't think it's a basement storage, sorry.
Okay.
One level only.
Okay. So with kitchen and storage in the rear and patio seating on private property?
Yes.
That sound about right?
Yep, that's correct.
And then are the patio hours proposed to be the same as the inside?
Yep, generally they would be 10:45 a.m. till 10 p.m.
And then just so that you know, the board voted about maybe a year ago now, that for common victualler licenses, background music is included in all licenses. So I know that you guys put that you're not going to have any type of speakers, but just know that background music at or below conversation level will be included if we grant the license.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yep. Do you have any questions?
No.
Questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant.
Merci.
Granted. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you need to keep these on file or retain who we sent out for our abutters?
And then just for the record, be with the premise description as stated?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Any other information you need?
That's it.
Thank you so much.
Our staff will contact you as the next steps.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Application, 1868 Mass Ave, LLC, doing business as Hotel 1868 Mass Avenue, has applied for a new garage license with additional flammables for 47 vehicles, 470 gallons of gasoline in the tanks of autos only, and 30 gallons of Class 1 in containers.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Hi, Attorney Trish Bondsworth, on behalf of the licensee.
Could you spell your last name for us, please?
F-A-R-N-S-W-O-R-T-H.
Thank you.
Kevin Sheehan for Hotel 1868, S-H-E-E-H-A-N.
Thank you.
And Curtis Butcher for Hotel 1868, B-U-T-C-H-E-R.
Thank you, and I know we heard the hotel application on this already.
Yes.
I did have a question. Your application says 32 spaces with fee and 15 with no fee for a total of 47 vehicles. The interdepartmental sheet that was sent around and to the other departments, including fire, said 27 residential, 15 Leslie, and 32 hotels. So I'm confused. How many spots do we have?
The one, the interdepartmental, that is from probably Peter Wasserman when it was going to be a hotel, and when it was going to be condos. So that application should have been destroyed a year and a half ago. The new one that was approved that went through Adam Shulman and Stephanie Gross has the appropriate signatures and numbers.
Do you have a copy of that one?
I do have it, and I think you guys have it.
No.
You don't.
Which is where I got these numbers from.
Ha!
Because I do not make them up in my head.
Oh, come on. No, I will get you a copy of it.
Okay. Okay, so
Absolutely. Then
that form should be the same as your application, which is 32 spaces with fee. I'm assuming these are for the hotel guests?
Yes.
And then the 15 no fee, who are these?
Leslie College. They have an easement to use those 15 spaces. They're the only people allowed to use those.
Okay. And then the 30 gallons of gasoline generator, what?
We were instructed by Brian at the fire department to put an extra 30 gallons down in case we were going to have a snowblower or lawnmowers or something along those lines.
Okay.
5-gallon containers or 10-gallon containers.
Okay, and are these underground?
Yes.
All of them, right?
No, Leslie's not.
Okay.
They're above ground. And the two handicap are above ground.
Are they outside the building?
Yes.
The Leslie ones are?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think those were all the questions. Do you have any questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? I'm sorry, Councilor, you have something else?
Nope.
provided that we get the interdepartmental form and there are no issues with that, I would vote to grant.
Right.
Thank you.
You'll have it set.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. You can upload it to the record if you want.
Okay.
We'll see it. Thank you.
Application, Lotus Kauai Harvard Incorporated, doing business as Chang Show, 1712 Mass Ave. CV All Alcohol License Number 11360 has applied for a change of DBA to Lotus Park.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Alan Chow, A-L-A-N-C-H-O-W. I'm the attorney representing Lotus Kauai Harvard.
Thank you.
I'll give you this form. Yeah.
Do you know why the change in DBA?
They are rebranding and revitalizing their menu. So their new menu, new name, new generation of cooks, the children's, founder's children are taking over the restaurant, and they want to create a much more healthier, global-inspired menu with trans cuisine.
But basically staying along the same lines
yes.
and the type of cuisine?
Yes.
And there are no other changes to the operation?
No.
No changes in beneficial interests?
No. The founders remain the owners. Continue.
Okay. It's their way of making their kids feel like they're actually getting
yes. They're doing a good job.
Yeah. All right. Questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I'll move to Grant. Brenton,
thank you. Application 242-8, doing business as Cambridge 1, 27 Church Street. Holder of Common Victualler Wine and Malt Beverages License Number 11281-1 has applied for a change of license category to all alcoholic beverages.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Cambridge 1.
How are you?
Good. Papers.
I have the affidavit. And the white cards and the green cards, and that's the receipt that goes with them. So I don't need that.
Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
My name is Chris Lutes, L-U-T-E-S.
Thank you.
Michelle Kousidis, K-O-U-S-I-D-I-S.
S-I-D-I-S?
Yes.
Okay, great, thank you.
There are names as well.
just as a matter of cleaning up, Cambridge 1, is it Roman numeral 1 or regular number 1?
It's the number 1.
Okay.
As it was, you know, the name came from the old firehouse that was there and the lintel that was
That's under. Fine. It's just our agenda had it as Roman numeral number 1, and I wanted to confirm that
it is 1.
Regular
and it actually
one.
Has a period after it as well.
Okay. Well, sure to add that. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, so unlike a malt and wine that's just adding liquors, you need to tell us what the public need for this one is, so why don't you tell us why you need the change to a full liquor?
Okay, the short answer is that we've had lots of requests for it. It happens regularly, more and more. We're doing private events as well now, and we've lost several because we don't have it. We've been operating there since 2002 very successfully, although with the increase in fast casual, we are about to change our menu and add, sort of improve our sit-down dining service to include grilled steaks, some fish, as well as grilled bar snacks and things like that. And we feel that all alcohol would enhance that and allow us to be more competitive. I can go on about the Carbon Square restaurant market and the way it's changed, if you would like, but I can also keep it very short. I think that sort of covers it. We've had a lot of requests. We think it will enhance the square as well. We find more and more that Harvard Square is just a tourist destination that people seek. And I feel like we, as a sit-down table service restaurant, as opposed to fast casual, we really focus on the complete experience of a diner, and that that all alcohol is a big part of that, especially for families visiting the university and as well as a bunch of the really close neighbors who we have now who come in and bemoan the fact that they can't. In fact, we talked to a few and told them we were coming this afternoon, and they said they'd try to come by.
Okay. I'm not sure if my staff got in touch with you, but do you have your DUA or your DOR releases?
Yes. Well, one was emailed to Chris.
Okay.
And the other was applied for, and we hadn't got it back yet.
Which one haven't you gotten yet? The DUA?
I don't remember. Matt
okay.
emailed it in, but they're both
we'll
in process. The one thing that I did want to mention is that, so we've been open since 2002. The landscape has changed a lot since then. I think we've sort of modified and done well. Back in 2002, we paid $200,000 for our beer and wine license, which I've led to believe through recent reading on the subject isn't worth nearly that anymore, sadly. But would love to, you know, remain competitive.
And you have had no issues with us or the ABCC, is that correct? No violations
correct.
Or anything? Do you guys have any questions?
No.
There would be no changes to the manager or...
Manager record is the same.
Matthew Curtis?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
This is our acting manager. She could attest to... she's taken many of the requests and in the past.
I think they've told us it's not even just requests, we're losing business. People will walk out because we don't have the full bar. We only have some beer and wine license.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Question? Anyone in favor of this petition?
Members of the public.
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Denise Jolson, Executive Director of the Harvard Square Business Association, and we're here to advocate for this application. Cambridge One is a longtime member of the Harvard Square Business Association, and very active in the association, you know, helping with the Tory Road 5K, you know, very responsible, good citizens, and I think that, you know, this change from a beer and wine to an all alcohol is something that's absolutely required almost. Just to remain competitive and to offer, you know, a full complement. So we're in favor of it, and that you vote on it favorably. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in favor of this petition?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioner, Chief. My name is Kevin Crane, K-E-V-I-N-C-R-A-N-E. I'm an attorney. I represent the landlord LLC, the Wong family, who ran Young and Yee for many years before they sold the license to Mr. Lutz. They want to see Mr. Lutz succeed, and I think that the upgrade will help them in that endeavor. The one concern that I have is that, and I think this has been broached with Ms. Lint anyway, we have, when we sold the license, we took a pledge for the beer and wine license on the note. And the note remains outstanding. It's not in default, but it's still outstanding. And I just want to be certain that the pledge of the license will continue with the all alcohol license if you're inclined to grant it.
So you would want us to add a pledge where there has been no application for one at this point, because this would be a new license?
The pledge exists on the existing license.
But this would be a different license. So because it's changing from malt and wine to all alcohol, it's different.
Okay. I when I called, I believe I spoke to either you or Chris, I can't remember, not you. But I was led to believe that it was an upgrade and not a new license, and then the pledge would adhere. But if that's not the case, then we would definitely want to continue the pledge of the existing license for that location to the Wong family.
Okay. So, provided that we vote favorably for this, what I would suggest, and I'm asking, hypothetically, since we haven't voted yet, if we grant this, we would just touch base with the ABCC that this sort of would continue, and if they say no, then we would just have you file for the pledge and then go from there. Would that make sense to everyone?
To me, yes. Yeah.
Anyone else in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? So I would vote to grant, but hold off on sending it. Reach out to the ABCC, see if they require anything else in terms of the pledge, and if not, we'll go forward. And if they do, then we'll just reach out back to the applicant.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Application for Tucci's Restaurant Corp, 5 Cambridge Park Drive. CB All Alcohol License Number 11331 has applied for a change of manager to Sean Campbell.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Sean Campbell, SeanCampbell.
Thank you. And Mr. Campbell, have you ever been the manager of record on a liquor license before?
I have.
You have? In Massachusetts?
Yes.
For some reason, in your application it says no. So, why don't you make that change and initial it? It's on the second page under your citizenship, residency, and background information. Can you tell us where you've been manager of record before?
I've been on record for Bertucci's in Randolph and in, North Attleboro.
Okay. And did you have any disciplinary issues with the local board or the ABCC while you were manager of record?
Neither place, no.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with the rules, regulations of this board and the ABCC with regards to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes.
And are you TIPS or 21 proof certified?
I am. Okay.
And we'll need a copy of that certification. questions? I will vote to grant. Granted. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. If you can just email that TIP certification, that'd be great.
Will do.
Thank you.
You.
Application SLW&P Hong Kong Restaurant Incorporated, doing business as Hong Kong Restaurant, 1238 Mass Ave, holder of common victualler all alcohol license number 11688-1, has applied for change of beneficial interest and transfer of stock, new stockholder.
Good afternoon. Please state
afternoon.
And spell your names for the record.
Attorney Kevin Crane, K-E-V-I-N-C-R-A-N-E.
Paul Lee, P-A-U-L-L-E.
Thank you. And Mr. Crane, this is sort of a correction of a previously filed application that got returned because of some changes, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I did see your DUA. Do you have the DOR, the certificate?
Yes, that was submitted as well.
Okay.
You want me to just give you some background on what happened here?
Sure. I think I remember and I saw it from the application, but yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Lee's parents were Sen Lee, his father, and Boy Lee, his mother. And they've run the Hong Kong restaurant for years. Mrs. Lee passed away in August of 2016. And she had a very small fractional share still in the corporation. We applied to this commission to approve the transfer of her small share to Paul, which he was specifically bequeathed that share under her will. We also, at the same time, applied for the change of corporate offices. That matter was sent to the ABCC, and the ABCC questioned the prior status of the beneficial owners. And I did speak with Mr. Ralph Sacramone and also Tim Hooten over at the ABCC regarding this after they had returned it with no action. Their records showed suddenly Paul's father, who died in 1994, owning 50%, and Mrs. Lee owning 50%. After Mr. Lee died, there were a number of transfers, all intra-family and I would say, based on some gift tax planning.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they were never approved by this board at the time. I've submitted a chart which from the accountant, which shows each year since Mr. Lee's death as to where the shares were transferred. So we're now at a point where Paul Lee would own 86.66% and his sister Evelyn would own 13.33%. This application really fills in that gap between the 50-50 and the time that Mrs. Lee passed away.
Okay. Questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to the petition? Okay. I will vote to grant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Granted. Thank you.
Application Cambridge Craft LLC, doing business as World of Beer, 100 Cambridge Side Place. Holder of common victualler all alcohol license number 11565-1 has applied for a change of beneficial interest, change of manager, and transfer of stock, new stockholder.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Dennis Quilty, Q-U-I-L-T-Y, Q-U-I-L-T-Y. Attorney representing the licensee. To my left, from the licensee Ben Novello, N-O-B-E-L-L-O. And to my far left, the proposed manager of record, Matt Sousa, S-O-U-S-A.
I'm sorry, can you give me Novello again?
N-O-B-E-L-L-O. E-L-L-O.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, and Madam Chair, and members, first order of business for us as the licensee is to apologize to the board for the occurrences that you discovered back in June. The licensee is extremely sorry, is aware that now that what happened should never have taken place. Mr. Novella will tell you some of the things that they have done internally as a result of these actions. But I just want to offer, not by way of an excuse, but an explanation. This entity is headquartered in the state of Florida. They came into a situation where they were entering into an agreement with the predecessor ownership in December, late December of 2017. At the time they did so, or the time that those negotiations were taking place, of course, the application for renewal had already been filed. As an aside, I actually represented the predecessor ownership group in 2016, I believe, when this license was first granted, but I have had no contact with anybody in either this organization or the previous since that time. So I too was surprised to get a call that this had all taken place in only about a month ago for me. But they wrongly assumed that they had been renewed for 2018, and that when renewal season came upon them for 2019, they would make any appropriate changes required. Obviously, they were wrong. They were mistaken. I can only suggest to you that this was not done out of a sense of working around the system or trying to pull something over the eyes of the CLC, but rather just a lack of knowledge. And they now realize that they should have reached out to me or somebody when this first occurred, and they didn't. I think since they were informed, they've cooperated with your office. I know there was a violation hearing, and Mr. Sousa attended that. For example, I wasn't aware that that was even taking place, or I wasn't contacted until after that had already occurred. I would have certainly advised them that they should have somebody representing them in front of the commission for a violation of this nature. In any event, since that time, I think from what I've read, and I hope from your perspective, that they've at least complied with all requests of the commission to properly file, and they are, as you are well aware, in the middle of an indefinite suspension, which they are living up to. The signage is posted. They've been closed for alcohol service and will remain so until future determination by this commission. So we're hoping that we are finally able to be before you with the proper filings, a proper manager of record, and a proper ownership structure that can be approved, we hope, going forward. So I know Mr. Novella wanted to just explain to the board from his ownership side, what happened and what steps they've taken. So, Mr. Novella, why don't you address the commission?
Well, first of all, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
If I can interrupt you for a second, what's your interest in this license? Because I know that the way the application's filed, you're not listed as an individual interest holder. So I'm just wondering, before you give us your spiel, I want to know who you are.
More than a spiel.
Basically.
I'm not reading. What my interest is, I'm one of the principals of World of Beer.
Okay.
I bought 25% of the company in 2010.
The World of Beer New England LLC.
Well, there's a subsidiary chart.
This may help.
I remember that I asked for something. You have an extra one, I think.
Two basic ownership, entities, if you will, and Mr. Novello's a member of the what amounts to the proposed 49% shareholder.
Okay.
So you have a 51% share in the name of Attitude Beer Holding.
Yep, and they are publicly traded.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. That is correct. And Mr. Novello is involved in the World of Beer entities, which are on the other side of the equation, the 49%.
Okay. Now you may speak.
So
Thank you. That being said,
my previous work was at Outback Steakhouse, where I started with one location in 91 and worked my way up to president of that company for very proud of that fact. We grew all over the states. It allowed me to travel to every state in the union, just about. And we were proud of our record being part of the community and such. So when we started a new company, when I bought World of Beer, there were two locations. We were franchising only at the time. We started growing. We let the franchisees obviously handle the liquor licenses for their municipalities because we just didn't have the manpower or wherewithal. We could not do it. It was just far too expensive for a little company to figure out the liquor license laws anywhere we sold a franchise to someone. And we made that part of our agreement. And it was clear, and it's quite common in the industry to do that. Upon taking over this franchise, a little history of World of Beer is that we grew to about 36 locations in 14 states, and then I sold part of the company to one of my associates at Outback, and he took over my role as CEO. So now we have three executives that are former Outback execs. The reason I bring this up is that at the time I oversaw 1,400 restaurants. My partner oversaw, who was the COO of Outback, oversaw over 2,000. We never had a suspension or a liquor license revoked. We follow the law. I mean, it's what we do. So, number one, I'll tell you this, it's embarrassing for this to happen for us. We aren't proud that it took place. We had faith in our chief operating officer who on Monday, for the most part, because of what took place here, was relieved from service from World of Beer Inc. or World of Beer Franchising, the company he worked for. We let him go because he wasn't following up on some of the operational tasks. Yes, it was a license issue about the change of ownership that we missed. We admit that. But the concomitants that followed with the inspection that the fire marshal did or the fire chief did, I don't know what, I apologize. I don't know what by municipality you get called, and the fact that the hood maintenance wasn't done. That's our operations people, and they let us down. Again, with the mobile app that we have that's around the country that sent out an email to someone that said on your birthday you get a free beer, which in municipalities, we operate under this in the Carolinas, and we know that it's blocked. For some reason, the people hadn't been trained in this location that it was blocked. We work towards that, but our operations department failed us greatly. Now, I'm not saying, okay, I fired someone and that was his fault. It's my fault, as one of the leaders of the organization, that we had someone working for us that failed here. But we've taken very extreme action. This was a highly compensated individual and a big part of our organization. We are remaining open, doing about 15% of the sales that we'd normally do in whole, although food normally makes up nearly 50% of our sales, but it's dropped off significantly, as you can imagine. Matt and I met with the staff today about compensating them. We're going to compensate them for their lost revenue. They're obviously making a lot less money, but have faith in us, and we'll make up that money and keep them employed. We have about 50 people employed there. Louis Molina, I don't know if anyone in here has met him, the general manager, is a fine young man looking to do a great job for us. We feel like we have a great crew and a great business. This is why we bought it from a franchisee. We made mistakes. When we discovered that that liquor license was not transferred to us in June because it was only a six-month renewal, I admit I've never heard of that. Everywhere else we operate, it's a one-year renewal, and it rolls
around. It should have been transferred in December.
I understand that.
And the city of Cambridge allows for renewals to be paid, alcohol renewals to be paid in two portions. You don't renew for half a year, but
okay,
you can pay the fee.
I'm
sure your counsel could give you more than bless you after the fact, but I just didn't want you to leave without
that.
No,
you're perfectly aware that what happened is that you received notifications from the predecessor group, and that's what started everything.
Yeah.
I just want to suggest that at that time they did not realize until they were responded to by your staff that this had, that they had not properly filed. And once they figured it out and realized, oh my God, this is not right, they did appropriately file and cooperate with your staff, and we'll continue to do so.
And please understand that this is not a, we're not a public company. This is my money. I would not have spent the kind of money we spent to buy this franchisee out and knowingly violate the law and put the whole business in jeopardy. We stand to lose a significant amount of money here because of this. It would be I'd be crazy to play around with that, and we don't do it. We don't have a record of doing it. So that's why I wanted to come up here and tell you that we're sorry that that happened administratively. And then the operational issues, as soon as they came to our attention, because quite frankly, they were underplayed by the predecessor who headed up operations, and I stepped in and said, we're taking care of this, and this, and then we dealt with our management issue on Monday. I think that we have great motivated people to operate that business going forward. Matt's a great kid and learning in the business. He's got a good team there, and we just wish you would give us the opportunity to show that. I think it's a beautiful site, nice people, and we'll accept whatever you deem necessary, but would ask that you understand that none of this was malice. This was incompetence.
Who is going to be responsible from now on in terms of license renewals and everything else? Is that going to fall on the manager of record, Matt, or?
No, we've purchased a software for our organization called License. Of course, now I'm on the spot and I'm nervous.
LicenseRenewal.com.
No. It's called. There isn't. Simple name. That's why I can't remember it. We use another software called Peruse that monitors all our leases because leases come up and such. We purchased a license software as well, where Ryan McCarthy, whose name you'll see on a lot of these documents, who does our administrative work. He enters that in, so we will know when those times are up.
Okay. Counselor,
yes, ma'am.
This question for you, I guess. Have you advised your client in terms of Massachusetts law and how renewals are supposed to be done? Because I understand that you can purchase that software, but only certain people can renew the license.
And people who are named will be an appropriately named individual, if this application is approved, who will be responsible to sign. And I will work directly with Mr. McCarthy on this topic.
Okay.
Just for the record, that software just notifies the top executives and our people administratively that dates are coming up and that we're obliged then to go out and seek the people that are on those licenses.
Okay.
Make sure it happens.
Now, other than the structure and the sale, in theory, the changes to the business are none, correct?
None. So the corporation has taken the restaurant back from the franchisee. Is that a pretty accurate summary?
Yes, sir. Well, we didn't take it back. We paid
it back. Bought it back.
And Mr. Sousa, you've been manager on a liquor license before, but in different states, correct?
Correct.
Did you have any issues with the local boards or the state boards at those locations?
No, never.
And are you currently familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol?
Yes.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you TIPS or 21 proof certified?
TIPS certified.
Okay, we would need a copy of that.
Okay.
Counselor, I was missing the DOR and the DUA.
Mr. O'Neill literally informed me a couple of days ago that they're missing. The DOR I received on my phone while I was sitting in the back. I'll send it to Mr. O'Neill as soon as I get back to the office.
Send it to Ms. Lint. Mr. O'Neill's
okay,
got it for a few days. Thank you.
Okay. And DUA, I think we had. Or it's in process. One of them was on its way, the other was in process. So we'll have everything in a matter of, I think, no more than the next 24, 48 hours max, and I'll send everything in.
Okay. Any other questions? And I see that you gave me a corporate vote.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant.
Sure.
And just for the record, I'm acknowledging that we've received the notice of appeal from Mr. Quilty and as well as the hearing notice from the ABCC.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. counselor, when you after you speak with your client in terms of who's going to be handling and everything, if we can get an email from you or the person exactly with who, because as you know, we've transferred into this online system.
Right.
It can just link to one person. I don't want to link it with Mr. Sousa if he's not being charged by the company to do this. So
understood.
Very clear.
The appropriate name and team. Thank you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Application, Elmendorf Specialty, LLC, doing business as Elmendorf Baking Supplies, 594 Cambridge Street, has applied for a new common victualler license number 20264 with seating capacity of 20 inside, 10 outside on the public sidewalk, occupancy of 40, proposed hours of operation from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. all days. Teddy Applebaum is proposed manager of record, premise described as 1,200 square feet. Two exits, one in front, one in back, ambient speakers. Kitchen located towards back of store, business on the first floor of building, storage in back, and secured basement area, patio on public sidewalk.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Yeah, Alyssa, A-L-Y-S-S-A, Applebaum, A-P-P-L-E-B-A-U-M.
A-P-P-L-E-B-A-U-M. Thank you.
Teddy Applebaum. T-E-D-D-Y, and then Applebaum spelled the same way.
Thank you. So why don't you tell me a little bit about Elmendorf?
Sure. First off, we had emailed Chris. We're not actually applying for outdoor seating this year. But we're opening a baking supply shop and cafe for the home baker. So we'll sell equipment and ingredients and also offer pastries and that sort of thing for the community.
I received a letter from the East Cambridge Business Association in support of this application. But I was, I'm curious because they describe you as an experiential retail that has been successfully competing with internet shopping. What does that mean?
I think they're referring, we want to host events, like have farmers come in to talk about local grain and book signings for cookbooks and stuff that come out, that kind of stuff.
Demonstrations,
yeah, chocolate talks.
And are you taking over the Pepsi Pie location, is that right?
Yeah.
And is it your intent to never have a patio, or is it just that you're not going to go through the sidewalk obstruction permit type situation this year?
Yeah, we just felt like it was too much to try to handle right now while we try to open, so we're just going to do it hopefully in the winter. Obviously, it's not patio season anymore, so we'll just try to come back for you before the spring to do it then.
Okay. any questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would actually vote to grant, and I would also say that I would grant the patio provided that they get a sidewalk obstruction permit and permission from City Council and all the permits that they would need, but I would approve the patio at this point. I wouldn't make them come back for the patio.
I concur
with
that.
Are you okay with that?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Violation, Bob Bassel, Local Motion of Boston, for alleged violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16.060B, noise in residential areas or affecting residential property, and 8.16060E, area noise standards.
Please stand up and raise your right hand.
Stand up, sir. You swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Andrea Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, investigator for the City of Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you.
Bruce Barrows, B-A-R-R-O-W-S.
And Robert Bassel. Oh, sorry.
Principal for Local Motion.
And Robert Bassel, B-A-S-S-I-L-L.
B-A-S-S.
I-L-L. Two S's, two L's.
Okay. We're just going to take a brief recess after this hearing. Or do you need it now?
No, after this.
After this hearing. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Boyer.
Thank you. A complaint was forwarded to our office regarding noise that was emanating from the Bentley bus shuttle. The complainant's address, they reside at 165 Mount Auburn Street. They had specifically stated, they cannot attend today, they had specifically stated that it was the noise from these buses for the Bentley shuttle, not other buses or trucks or car traffic that comes down Mount Auburn Street, that they were these ones that were specific. Based on those complaints, I performed noise readings on July 16th this year, this summer, and showed that there was 70.1 dBA while they were idling in front of the complainant's home. And then when you would push the acceleration pedal, the bus would go to 76.9 to 79.3. After being notified of the noise level, the bus shuttle representative, Mr. Bessel, stated that they had made an appointment August 1st to have a company look at the engine compartments so that they could baffle them and insulate them to bring the levels down to compliance.
Ms. Boyer, for the record, what's the noise level?
Of?
What's allowed? What's allowed?
Oh, I apologize. In a residential zone during the daytime from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., it shouldn't be over 50, and then from 6 p.m. to 7 a.m., it should not be over 50 dBA. So. Did I say that correctly or backwards?
No.
60 in the day.
60 during the daytime and not over 50 during the nighttime, excuse me.
Okay. Thank you.
So August 1st, they were going to meet. The reason we were trying to get things done and completed before August 26th is because the shuttle has a slower service during the summertime, and then when the students come back, they got it's more frequent. So we were trying to make sure they were baffled before August 26th. On August 28th, Mr. Bessel notified me that one of the buses, number 436, had the engine compartment insulated and another bus would be insulated on August 29th, and that there was one that was in the shop for repair. So I tested one of the buses, number 436, and it showed that the level was 70.1 while idling and 82.6 when the acceleration pedal was pushed, so it didn't show any sort of change that would be significant. On that same day, I had asked Mr. Bessel when the other two buses would cycle so that I could get those readings as well, and I had not heard back, so we scheduled this hearing.
Now, I know that you mentioned that the neighbor said that these buses and not the other ones. What other types of buses are at that location?
So the MBTA uses Mount Auburn Street. There's a couple of vans that go down for the medical Mount Auburn Hospital, but basically the MBTA bus is the other would be comparable.
Okay, and the MBTA bus is sort of the threshold in terms, this would be sort of the ambient noise that both of these buses are?
We use the MBTA bus regardless of whether one of the electrical, because they still have the compartment based on a 2014 case of Brookline Street,
okay,
where the buses were, they went from diesel to natural gas so that they would be lower. It took a long time for the Cambridge Community Development to work on that case, but they got all the buses to at least be down based on a complaint that it was 70 into 80 down to 65. DBA while it's being accelerated. So
for these buses, the threshold or the maximum would be 65.
That's what they have been showing as well.
Okay.
61 when idling, and specifically in front of 165 Mount Auburn Street when they were coming by, it was 61. Just to get a comparable, bus number 4101 was 1.3 while idling, and then when they pushed the acceleration, it was 64.9, 65.1.
So these buses are basically about more than 10 dBA above the other comparable buses?
From the one bus that I was able to test.
Okay.
Because that was the only one that was en route when I did the testing.
Okay.
I actually tested last night as well, just to get an updated.
And were the numbers reading about the same?
They're the same, yes.
Okay. Gentlemen.
Well, we purchased these buses four and a half years ago to perform this contract, and we purchased them from the manufacturer because they were the buses that were currently being used on the shuttle for Bentley. So it was our understanding that we were in compliance when we purchased these vehicles. Unbeknownst to us, over the course of these 4 years, these buses somehow have gotten louder. We took the time to and then spent the money to insulate the insides, and then I brought pictures to verify that, but apparently that has not created enough of a difference to, I don't know if I submit this into evidence or not, but this is specs for what the sound absorption should be and pictures of what we've done to the buses to try to help that cause along. Unfortunately, because of the design of the vehicle, it's got an open bottom. Noise does radiate out, mm-hmm. particularly in the summertime when the air conditioning is running. The compressor goes on, the fans go on, and they make an awful lot more noise than they do in the wintertime. So that's what we're stuck with. We're stuck in the final year of a contract that we now are being told that the buses are no longer compliant to run. And it's a quandary for us, to be frank with you. We've done everything that we can possibly do. We've talked with the manufacturer. They have offered us no assistance. We've gone out on our own to try to get as much information to solidify making the buses quieter. We spent a great deal of money and time to put these insulating pieces in this bus, and it's done virtually no good.
Have you shown any of this to Ms. Boyer before today? Because I know that she testified that she had made requests.
Well, the only thing, when going back and forth, we had just told them that the buses that they used, they wanted to retest them, just had made mention, and she had brought it up, that the company was going to come and take a look at it. We had been in communication. We said what we did, put the sound dampening material in a couple buses, and I think that's about it. And then we got the notice of hearing, so at that point we just left it alone until today.
Well, I did need to test the other two buses. I didn't receive that correspondence to be able to test the other two buses. Basically, that's why I put this on the board.
Yeah, and I apologize. I thought I had sent it, and I'll go back on my emails because I almost definitely sent it. Because we took it as serious. You know, we want to be in compliance. You know, it's a big part of the business, and it's a big part of Bentley coming into Harvard Square. We do travel here a lot.
So, Mr. Barrows, or Mr. Is it Basil?
Basil,
thank you. So, are you saying that there's nothing else that you can do with these buses to bring them into compliance at this point?
We have not been able to manufacture any type of change, to be totally frank. And we've done everything that we could come up with, everything that the manufacturer suggested that we do. And quite honestly, as I said before, we're in a quandary. We have 8 months left, 7.5 months left in this contract. And pursuant to signing a new contract, we would purchase new equipment that obviously would be in more compliance. An interesting point was brought up. The buses that the city runs were converted to propane. These buses that we're operating on are diesel. When we purchased them, we weren't aware that there was a change that was going on. We probably should have been a little bit more investigative to find that out. But that in itself changes the whole complexion of the sound that's coming out of these buses, because they're standard buses that, you know, they're school buses, and then that's basically how they run. Even school buses will run at higher noise levels than most buses that all buses today in Cambridge. And that's a difficult thing for us.
I think what the complainants have noted, and they sent an email letting the board know how disruptive it is. School bus might pick up in the morning, drop off in the afternoon. This is an all-day shuttle.
They have changed their schedule substantially. You know, Monday through Thursday, they leave Harvard Square at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday, the latest bus is 11:43 p.m. On Sunday, the last bus from Harvard Square is 10:55. In the past, they haven't run until 3 in the morning, leaving Harvard Square just before 3 a.m. So that's changed. So they are leaving there just before midnight, and I don't know if that changes things, but they have changed their schedules.
Sorry, go ahead.
Did you say that these are, because I saw the photos of the in the engine compartment, but mm-hmm. of the buses themselves. It's like a school bus, like the traditional school bus?
Very similar.
Or is it more like a motor coach?
It's very similar in design to a school bus on a similar chassis, with the exception being with these particular buses, they're rear engine buses, so the engine is in the back.
Okay.
You have less, you know, noise reduction than under normal situations.
Did you purchase these buses new?
Yes, brand new.
Really?
Brand new. From the International Corporation.
That lends mark to a question that I have. Do we know, like, he testified that they fell out of compliance. Do we know that's the case, that we tested them before and they were, or we just now got to complain and that's what prompted us, so we don't know that they ever were in compliance?
Number two, we do not know.
Okay. And again, we purchased these vehicles. I'm sorry. You know, the last company who had this account, we took it over. We bought, like, Bentley's thing was buy like vehicles. You need to have like vehicles. So that's exactly what we did. We bought like vehicles of what was running at that time.
Light.
L-I-K-E.
Okay. So they wanted you to have a bus similar to what the previous vendor was using.
Sure.
When you mentioned that you have 7.5 months contract, what contract are you talking about?
It's a 5-year service contract with the Bentley University, which comes up for renewal in May. Comes to conclusion in May. It'll be up for renewal probably in January.
So it's a contract in terms of you providing the service. It's not a contract in terms of your contract with the manufacturer of the bus.
No, it's with Bentley University. It's a service contract.
So in theory, you could buy buses that are in compliance with the noise ordinance and not be in violation of your contract.
Not be in violation of contract, yes, we could certainly do that. It would present a tremendous hardship to our business because we amortize these vehicles over the course of 5 years. Their value right now is probably not as high as it should be predicated on this particular hearing. But that said, we didn't expect to have to go in and spend, in this particular case, it'll be $300,000 or $400,000 to replace these vehicles. And a contract that only has 7.5 months remaining.
So are you saying that in 7.5 months you will no longer provide the service for Bentley?
There's no longer a guarantee of that. We certainly hope that we will, but there's no guarantee. It's a bid process, and as in all bid processes, it usually goes to the lowest bidder.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
should you be successful on the bid, then you would purchase compliant?
Yes, sir, we absolutely would. We've already looked into the cost of these now.
Have you... So, and these buses you purchased from the person or the business that was giving the service to Bentley before?
No. We bought them brand new. They were of the same elf, the same style, the same manufacturer.
And who, I'm sorry, who'd you say the manufacturer is?
It's International Corporation, IC.
Really?
I was just thinking about just if this is a bus shop, I mean, if this is a bus company, are there just other buses? There's 3 buses altogether, even though there's a contract. Are there just other buses in your company that can be traded out where these would not be maybe as bothersome on a different route for a different company or a different contract with a different... You guys own more than 3 buses,
right.
I assume.
We own about 170 buses.
So is there a way to trade out these 3 buses for the next 7.5 months? And
if there was, Ms. Boyer, we would have already pursued that because we certainly don't want.
I said you'd be surprised many people don't think of the obvious.
We tried to. These particular buses were specifically bought. There are 2 separate doors on each bus. So they have a front door and a back door. We don't run any other contracts like this. We run another contract that's like this, but it also goes to Cambridge, so that's the only way we could shift out of it, and that would not help our position.
Does your contract with Bentley require you to use buses with 2 doors?
Well, the second door is a handicap. So the contract does require that all buses, for this account, that are running with the Bentley logo are handicapped.
So are you saying that your other 160 buses aren't handicapped?
Correct.
Accessible?
Correct.
No,
we have
a lot of equipment that's handicapped accessible. However, we don't have any vehicles that have 2 doors.
Okay, but they are handicapped accessible.
Yes, they are. These are what's called, classically referred to as low floor buses. So the access in and out is much quicker than the standard coaches that we operate, which has to come out from the side of the bus, drop down. It's a more timely process. It's certainly not going to help in this type of a scenario.
Absolutely, but it's a $300 maximum fine per day per violation.
I understand.
Times 7.5 months, that's a really long time, versus maybe looking at your fleet and or making the purchase now, and or your contract to see whether Bentley can, I mean, Bentley has to, whoever they hired, they have to comply.
Absolutely.
With the noise ordinance, so.
We've made them aware of this hearing, we've made them aware of the position that we're in.
What have they?
They wanted to understand the outcome of this hearing, and then we have to sit down and do some hard and fast calculating as to what we can afford to do as a company. All of our financials were predicated on, you know, this contract going for 5 years, and now it would put a tremendous hardship on our business to do that today.
So, have you sought expertise, if you will, from anybody besides the manufacturer of the bus? Have you consulted with, like, sound engineer people?
We have not consulted. That's a point that we wanted to review. We felt going back to the manufacturer because it's their issue, truly. We wanted them, because they have to put these things together with all these compliances in focus. We thought that was the best, and they have, you know, an awful lot of engineers who do this for a living, so.
Sure.
I think that they recognize now that these buses, after a period of a few years, do not operate within the parameters that have been set in Cambridge, or for that matter, anywhere. So we're stuck. We'd like a little bit of time and leniency to try to work this out. We will try to put other vehicles on them as best we can.
Ms. Boyer, when was the first time you contacted them?
Well, I did the reading in July 16th, so it may have been around the beginning of July.
I mean, with all due respect, you've had a lot of time to look at various options here.
Are these, I have a question. I'm on your website right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is these particular buses listed in your fleet here on the website?
Not.
They're not. Okay.
No, they're not accessible to other people who are looking at just.
They're like Bentley logo.
Yes, they're very specific to the client.
One thing about getting an acoustical engineer now, if anything were to be fabricated, it would take months because nothing's on the shelf anymore to fabricate some sort of noise baffling.
No, I just was curious.
Yeah.
One of the things that has happened over the course of time is that they've produced all of these emissions standards to lower the emissions coming out. So now you can't baffle these anymore without generating back pressure. And it's tough enough now to regenerate.
I'm well aware of that with the design of fire apparatus.
I'm sure you are. You know what a pain in the butt that can be. So at the end of the day, the first thing I tried to do was go back and see if we could muffle the sound.
Right.
Not possible. Manufacturer told us you blow the motors up.
Exactly.
If you do this.
Creates.
What's the next approach? Well, you need to find a way to insulate the cabin where the sound is emanating from. So we went in, we put all this expensive material against the cabinet walls and virtually got nothing. So what we're finding is that the noise is reflecting and then bouncing. And you cannot, by virtue of, and you know this better than anyone, you can't put that in a compartment.
Right, you blow it up.
Right. It needs to breathe. It needs to, you know, it's a fire. It becomes a fire hazard. So we're kind of in a quandary, as I said before. I have a couple of buses that I'm looking to purchase now that are, as I said before, $450,000, which we're trying to get for a little less money, and we're working diligently to do this. We just took on a very large contract and bought four brand new pieces of business, or four pieces of equipment. So we're not in the position where we can go out and readily spend, but we're going to have to do something. So we'll try to put other vehicles on it until such a time as we can rectify this particular problem. And if anybody knows any people that want to buy a couple of buses, please let us know.
So,
have you heard any more from the original complainant?
The complainant? Yeah, the email. They sent an email recently, just letting. I had reached out to see if there had been any changes, and they had sent an email to the board since they couldn't, so they couldn't attend since it was the middle of the day.
We've looked at changing. Stop locations, even, you know, pick up locations.
Still be in Cambridge and we'd still be out of compliance.
And you really have to go down Mount Auburn, the only other way around.
This is basically a shuttle just to bring students to the square.
Students back and forth to Harvard Square.
For, you know, compliance with compliance. I'm just talking about for abatement as far as the complainant is concerned.
That was one of the first questions I asked, if we could change the route.
That would be great if we can get into a non-residential zone. But half of the intrigue through all this is you're dropping them off in the middle of Harvard Square.
It's also something that gets controlled by traffic and parking, correct, mm-hmm. in terms of where they have stops and
correct.
Whatnot.
Correct.
Do they make stops, or it's strictly Waltham to the square, and that's it?
Waverly Square, Belmont to the square.
Right.
From Bentley to Waverly to Harvard Square.
I suggest, this is clearly a violation. I would actually impose the fine, I think. It's been a long time. I think there's still options that can be looked at. And I think, quite frankly, regardless of who Bentley contracts with, they have to be in compliance, and there certainly can be a little more pressure put on Bentley in terms of this is something that they definitely want for their students. And I would suggest putting this back on for the next October hearing, which is in a couple of weeks, to provide them an opportunity to, one, talk to Bentley and really figure out something that might work for them, and two, really look at their fleet, and regardless of whether it's a smaller bus or maybe even if they have to run two buses because they don't have the same amount of capacity or whatever, but they actually are in compliance. Or even reaching out to Ms. Boyer so that she can test the other buses and sort of figure out, you said you got to only test one of their three buses?
Oh, we didn't get the
It's only been yet. 436, and even when I tested yesterday, that was last night and this morning is still bus 436. So I was trying to get the schedule to figure out what the other two buses were, because even the initial reading was of a different bus, which was not in compliance.
So,
that bus is in the shop, having a brand new motor put in it. So when that, hopefully we'll have that within the next week and a half, and that would be a really good chance to see if there's any change with the motor. We've done virtually all we can do with the insulation part of it now. It's just a function of seeing if the motor is bad, and it's quite possible that could be the case.
And Bentley has been CC'd on all the emails that have been going through as well, so they are aware of every step that we've taken.
They are.
Julie Brett is no longer with Bentley.
Oh, there you have it.
What type of violation did you find at the chair?
So, I know it's $300 maximum per day per violation. I would do four $300 fines for $1,200, sort of taking the month instead of doing it per day, just a month. Considering the fact that although I don't think they've moved on this as urgently as they should have, they have taken steps to ameliorate the situation, and I would take that into account. So I would do a $1,200 fine, and I would have them on the 24th to see what else they have done. And maybe issue more fines then. I don't know, but at this point, that's how I would vote on this particular case.
I want to guard against being overly punitive. I agree with that, but moving forward, I think that we got to be, careful as to being overly burdensome on them as well, coming into compliance with the ordinance. So I concur with.
Okay. So it'll be a $1,200 fine, and you will receive a hearing notice to come back on October 24th, right? That's our next hearing?
Yes.
October 24th at 3 p.m. To further discuss other things or what you've discussed, where you're at, what's going to happen. I would also suggest that between now and then you contact Ms. Boyer, mm-hmm. So that she can test the additional buses that are on your route and maybe any other bus that you identify that you could switch out for the 7.5 months. If it's a burn for 7.5 months, it's better than these fines, I would say.
Certainly.
Or, having traffic and parking full permits because you're not in compliance with the ordinance. So October 24th, and please respond to Ms. Boyer's emails and inquiries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, and we're taking a brief break. Thank you. Have a successful event. Back on the record, it's 5:21 p.m. and Jean Paul-Lenis did not show up, so no action taken on the hacking application.